Hello and welcome to the Marketing Meetup podcast. My name is Joe Glover and today we're going to be hearing from the brilliant, passionate, informed, clever, intelligent, wonderful, I've said wonderful, Hannah Thorpe. Hannah is from a company called Found and she's going to be speaking all about what to do when SEO is dead. I think this was a really, really great, high level to a certain extent talk, and I say high level in terms of I think she provided a level of information that was verging on technical, but actually really, really fascinating in itself. But the thing that I took from this talk in particular was actually an attitude change into how I approach SEO. I'm sure by the end of the podcast, you'll be doing the same. So I'm going to leave you to the talk after I've just said two more things. The first is a big thank you to Baz Richardson from Bravo Marketing. Head to bravomarketing.co.uk to find out more about them. Baz is your prototypical creative director. He's a sensational bloke. I love him to pieces and he's just really, really good at what he does. So if you need any sort of spark of creativity in your life, head to Barry. He's a real top chap. The second thing is all about just letting you know that the Marketing Meetup has a whole bunch of stuff that's going out every day, every week, every month. So if you want to come to an event, read some great articles, listen to more podcasts, it's all at themarketingmeetup.com. Head there and there's just so much stuff. With all that said, I'll leave you to Hannah. It's a brilliant talk. I've no doubt that you're going to enjoy it. And yeah, I'll see you soon.
Cool. So first, who here does SEO? A few people, great. Who here thinks they know anything about SEO? A few. Great. I mean, that's half the battle. My first SEO job interview, I didn't really realise what I was going for a job in. And I can remember being sat in the car park and I Googled what SEO stood for and then couldn't get phone signal. So went in and literally asked the receptionist on my way to interview. I got the job. So that's what matters, but probably not the best recruitment tip ever. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what to do when SEO is dead. Those of you that know the SEO industry probably know that there's a lot of chat about the fact that SEO is dying out and everyone's like, content's king, no one should do SEO anymore. I'm talking to you about what I think is actually going on and how we can combat it as SEOs to kind of do better. If I use horrible acronyms and you have no idea, I won't be offended if you shout out that you don't know what I'm talking about, if certain things don't make sense. I can go a bit jargon and it's awful. So hi, I'm Hannah. I think all the stuff says I'm business director, but I'm actually head of SEO. I just forgot to tell Joe, that's fine. and that means I head up a team of 20 people in London, work for an agency called Found. We do everything SEO, PPC, influencer, content, etc., etc. Anything that's online, we will do. And really, I've been in SEO about 6 years now, and I've seen a lot of things change in the industry because I think I came into it at a time when everything was kind of in flux. Like, you couldn't buy links anymore, and that was kind of like week two. I found out that you couldn't buy links and that Google was rolling out these algorithm updates. And then from there, I've kind of progressed into how I think about SEO as a whole. And sometimes I feel like the SEO that we do, and I was told I had to put it in little quote marks so that you didn't think I was talking about my agency, but like us too, the SEO that we're doing just doesn't work. Yay. And I think there are three core things that have made me think this. So I'm going to take you on a rapid fire story that's going to go through those three things, because this talk did once take an hour. look how worried Joe looks. This is great. So reason number one. We once reported to a client that we drove, it was actually 137%, but apparently too realistic a number. We drove an 137% increase in organic conversions. When I asked my team what they'd done to do that, they turned around to me and went, not really sure, I think we changed a meta description. And I was like, that does nothing for SEO. Okay, so I was like, what have you done? Like, you've driven this much more for a client and you can't put your finger on what it was. The client actually paid us a bonus. They were like, great, you've smashed target. And then we looked into it a bit more and I realized that Google for Jobs had launched. And the client happened to work in recruitment. And if you haven't set your analytics up correctly, Google for Jobs counts as an organic conversion and will feed through as organic. So no one was actually going to the site more. They were just clicking on here. We didn't get them any higher rankings. We didn't get them the things they were targeted for. They just saw this in the search result, went, oh, that's exciting because it was new, and clicked on it and went through to the site very quickly. Like, that's not our work. And what drove Google for Jobs? So I asked the team and I was like, can you justify that your work is what made us rank in Google for Jobs? Because if so, I'm going to let you take the 137% increase as credit. And they were like, oh, well, we put some schema on it. We did some great SEO. We localized the content. We've done a creative campaign. We made a video series. So, well, video doesn't rank in that, so it wasn't that. And then I was like, well, what if a competitor just made a mistake and we benefited? So what if we were just in the right place at the right time? One of my colleagues suggested that a butterfly's wings flapped in Amsterdam and that could have impacted it. Like, we don't know. So we can actually take responsibility for that growth. We're honest humans, so we actually gave the bonus back and said, sorry, we misreported, our bad. But it sucks that we're seeing that growth and we actually saw normal organic declining at the time. So yeah, our SEO just didn't work. Reason number two, we've got a client who has a high number of returns and fulfillment is a pain. Anyone on their phone is not allowed to take a picture of the next slide because it has the client's name on it. So you know the robot vacuums that they film with the cats on top that spin? Yes, great. People who spend too much time on YouTube are nodding. So what happened here is, so our client actually ranks like third basically when you start at the top of the results. But it's better for them if Amazon rank above, because then they don't have to handle returns when people get the vacuum and realize that maybe it's not great. And also when the cat attacks it and they try and return it because it's upset their pet. Like, that was happening so often. And also they were scaling far too quickly, so they couldn't do all the fulfillment themselves and they were getting these backups in their warehouse. So they were like, you know what? We have enough brand awareness. Can you make sure that Amazon and John Lewis rank above us? And they were like, because B2C is just way too much hassle. We can sell B2B, so all we need you to do is branding. Please don't outrank these other sites. That's a crazy SEO target to be given. And we were like, well, we can't do it. And in the end, we did some paid LinkedIn advertising that targeted people who might stock their product that weren't as big as John Lewis and suggested that they should resell it. And we also found that YouTube worked really well for them because people seeing videos of the product working was enough to build trust for them to then go into store to John Lewis to convert. And it just wasn't about their site anymore, which is kind of what SEO is. So I was like, okay, SEO could be dying. And then reason number three, which was kind of the nail in the coffin, was this is a really arbitrary example of something that looks good. But our site was really close to perfect. So we had a website that had like technical excellence. The keyword research was great. Sitemap was great. It was quick. There was absolutely no reason for that site not to rank. But we got outranked by Amazon and John Lewis on it anyway. And we were like, that's not fair. ASOS are the worst for this. ASOS have a no one here works for ASOS? Great. ASOS have a technically awful website. If you look at how that site works, like, it doesn't deserve to be indexed. Like, the international handling on ASOS, the men's US category page ranks above the UK homepage in the UK, technically, if you've never been on that site before. Like, that's not good work. But they outrank a lot of competitors purely on their brand. And there's nothing you can do. You can do a great job, but they've built their brand, they've got historic equity, they've invested in offline. People choose them because they're the preferred option. So what do you do as an SEO? So to summarize, there's no such thing as SEO and we should all go home. Or, that was really lucky because I didn't know what slide was next, so that's awesome. So, or SEO is just dead as a performance channel. And to me, performance just means you're expecting a direct result. And what we've found is that SEO doesn't correlate directly to traffic or revenue. Like, if you spend $5,000 extra on SEO, we cannot guarantee you're going to make $20,000 extra in terms of your revenue. Any agency doing that is literally lying. And one of the reasons for that is because the volume of change within Google means we can never accurately forecast. So, like, we didn't know that Google for Jobs would launch. So how could we have done a forecast for that client? Like, we're having to continually reforecast and start again on them. And also, like, 30% of searches don't even result in a click. So if you're forecasting based on search volume and you're like, cool, plastic cups are searched 30,000 times a month, you're first, you should get 20% of that traffic. You won't, because 30% of searches don't ever result in someone clicking through to a website. So that's how much less kind of market we have to play with than what we thought. And it just means we're getting further and further from using SEO as an advertising channel than ever before. A lot of what we do at Found, we say our history is rooted in affiliates, therefore we like to work on CPA models, and we can't do that with SEO. It's just not advertising, it's marketing. Great. So I think the first thing we have to do is to start by opening our minds up beyond the algorithm. This is slightly nerdy, so I'm going to go really quick because I don't think anyone apart from me in the world is interested in this. So I firmly believe that there are two levels to search. There's traditional crawling and information retrieval, which is what we've been doing for years as SEOs. And then Google can also look up. So crawling is when Google looks down at our websites. And when Google looks up, it looks up into the knowledge graph, which sits above the SERP. And that interacts, like, how all of the content on the internet is related, and it's grouped together by entities. So, like, an entity can be translated into any language and any market, and Google knows what it is. Like, Google knows if you search Katy Perry in the UK, you mean the one from America. Like, it understands what you're getting at, and it can look up in the knowledge graph and return information from the knowledge graph much quicker and much more efficiently than it does from looking down at websites. They have two separate types of algorithm. So they have their traditional algorithm, which is really boring and based on links. And then they have these other two algorithms. They do deep relevance matching and position aware relevancy matching. And in effect, what that says is instead of looking at just links, it's going to look at what you've put on the page and what the person's questioned and give the best answer. Like, that feels logical. And when you apply that to what we see in the search results, what appears at the top isn't based on traditional ranking factors. It's more based on what's on that page versus what the query is versus how well does it answer it. And that's when we get those answer boxes that give you a really short answer and a really quick result. Whereas lower down, it's like, who bought the most links? It's basic traditional SEO. And I think that our strategies need to include both of these in order to really win at the stuff where there are no clicks and the stuff where Google's giving you the answer directly in the search. Everyone with me? Anyone that's really nerdy can go Google the names of those two algorithms. The patents are really, really interesting if you're into that sort of thing, because Google has to publish them so you can see what it could be using as technology within the algorithm. If that was the case, it would explain this thing called a fraggle. A fraggle is a fragment plus a handle. A fragment is like the snippet here, and a handle is where it like helps you jump to the relevant bit. So this is the tricky bit apparently about braiding hair, and it jumps to that bit automatically if you watch the video in the SERP. Now, these fraggles are kind of a way of giving people directly the answer to their question so quickly, rather than them having to visit a site, which is why it's kind of more based on actually content rather than based on the links, but it's still SEO. So some people don't believe me that there's multiple algorithms, and some do. Doesn't really matter, because either way, SEO needs to do something different because the traditional stuff we have isn't working. So what I believe is that SEO's role is to capture attention. So we're going to run through a few quick tactics for capturing attention with SEO and then how you'd measure it, because it's a bit more difficult than just, hey, I made you some cash. So SEO for attention. Quickly, you need to go higher up the funnel. So the first thing I always suggest to clients is to scrape the people also ask and the related queries. If you Google scrape people also ask, there's like a step-by-step guide that nearly every website ever has written. Any of those will work in order to pull that. Or you can cheat and you can use Answer the Public, which is a free tool. Type in your query and it'll give you all the questions related. You can go beyond that. And something like Pinterest kind of has it built in. So you see the tags at the top in Pinterest. That's like the next query that someone does to refine. So if someone types in SEO, they quite often then click for bloggers and they refine their query. If you download the Chrome extension called Data Miner, you can click use Pinterest recipe and it will scrape all of the top of that site on your search, and it will tell you all of the related terms to what your initial search was. So it's helping you learn kind of more about what people are really looking for beyond just that core keyword, and it will be much higher up the funnel for you. And then you should just be visible on long tail question based terms. This has been really emphasized by like that Google's now letting FAQ schema appear in the search results. You get those really long answers that you can put in. Optimizing for those is now key, and that's exactly what going higher up the funnel would do for you. Talk about your competitors. So what you'll find is that quite often, like people search against for brand versus brand. There is no harm, if you want to talking about them. Does anyone here ever use LinkDex? It's an SEO tool. It's stupidly expensive, you shouldn't use it. But we once did their SEO about 3 years ago. And what we found the most common searches around their brand were LinkDex pricing versus SEO monitor pricing versus BrightEdge pricing. And we just put a chart on their website that told you the pricing difference and the features difference from their site. So we're just really transparent. And we were like, you know what, LinkDex is the most expensive, but you get these six extra features. And by tackling the problem head on, not only was it good for customers visiting the site, like they ranked for the competitor names versus LinkDex. None of the competitors did it. And we disclaimed it. We were like, they might change this. We can't guarantee this is right. But none of the competitors did it. So they're the only one present there. So people already trust them more. And just don't let like review sites and aggregators win every time. The best thing, does anyone here do paid? Yeah, some PPC people. The best thing we do for understanding like aggregators and review sites and like e-consultancy kind of sites that people go to, we retarget to our converted customers. So if someone visits, they come on, they buy, we still hit them with retargeting, but we hit them with a branded retargeting ad that doesn't have any aggressive call to action, because then people don't click on it, so it doesn't cost us a lot of money, which then means when we go into our report to see where our ad was viewed, we can see what sites our actual customers go to and we can who are on the GDN, and I can be like, cool. So most people that come on our site that inquire then go and read e-consultancy at some point within the next 30 days. So I should guest blog for e-consultancy, because then they're going to get double the messaging. And it's not about the value of that ad. It's about the value of knowing where your customers are. And we do that to understand what aggregator sites they go on, because a lot of these aggregator and review sites all talk about this and are all on the GDN too. Build brand trust, because trust gets you listed in the knowledge graph. And that means doing things like having lots and lots of references with Schema, Wikipedia, as well as Wikidata, GMB, press releases. Semantically, like always using the same term, like at Found, we're trying to call ourselves a growth agency now. We've always called ourselves a performance agency before then. So we're going through all of the references and times we've talked about ourselves before and changing it just so it's consistent and Google gets used to seeing your brand name next to those terms. It's not anchor text. It's about having a relevancy. And integrate with other channels. This is what I just told you about because I forgot the slide was there. So we'll move on to measurement. See, bang on time. So I think the first thing is to start thinking beyond last click. So a third of purchases take place more than 30 days after that first inquiry, that first interaction. That's across the whole of e-commerce. And 55% of traffic is mobile, but typically only 32% of revenue is mobile for an online store. This is from like one of the generic e-commerce state of the industry reports. So clearly people are visiting and then they're coming back and converting a different way. Until we get that consistent tracking across all of the things, we're never going to really be able to know exactly how that's working. Google are definitely working on it. If you've seen what they're doing with the Discover feed, they're giving you an incentive to be logged in on all your devices. The same with the way they're adding collections and you can like save your searches and have like your group of everything I've searched for about my holiday. Like all of that sort of thing is encouraging people to be logged in cross-device, but it's never going to be perfect. So we have to think beyond last click and understand the value of our channels higher up the funnel too. We should measure time well spent. This pale green quote that you probably can't read is from Facebook, and it talks about the fact that Facebook firmly believe that social media is actually good for your mental health. They did a lot of studies about it, and they basically proved that it can make you feel less lonely especially that's why they push out those messages. You know, when they're like, you've been friends with so-and-so for like 10 years and you actually thought they might have died, like you're not sure who they are. Those ones make you feel less lonely, apparently, because it brings back good memories. And that's why they do it. So let's think about things like that. My favourite talk I ever heard, and I then forgot the site, so he obviously didn't brand it very well. It's like a sofa surfing company. And this guy, his entire business, he modelled it on how quickly he could get people off his website, because he believed that backpackers don't want to spend ages searching through a website because they're trying to adventure. So what he said was, you need to go on, immediately see if there's availability near you, and then either book or leave. And he was like, quick interaction, so it's not a pain and you don't get frustrated, is a better brand experience than having someone on my site for 40 minutes but them not converting at the end. Because he really understood what his audience was doing and what they were in the moment for. So he measured the success of his website by how well spent his customers' time was on it and what they could have been doing instead. If you're backpacking across Europe and you had to spend that long booking a sofa to sleep on, like, it wasn't time well spent. And track task completion and satisfaction, right? So Google do this really well because they have a send feedback bit, which you're likely to fill in if you're really pissed off. So people will only interact in a way that makes them type if you can get them to generate an extreme emotional reaction. It's called the valiance arousal dominance model. And it basically means if you really piss someone off or they really loved what they saw on your site, they will write into you about it. If they were just like, eh, it was okay, and they have what is an in control emotion, they will never bother to write in. Instead, they might just click a single interaction button. The same way you might just quickly like something on Facebook, but if you were really shocked, you'd bother to type because it was an out of control reaction. So they also put an in control reaction, which is, was this article helpful, yes or no? Because that will hit the people that are less engaged to still interact and give feedback. So asking people to rate their experience with a single click and also giving them the option to type means you're going to get all of the range of satisfaction scores. We also track our percentage share of SERP. You aren't going to be able to see this. If you're as close as I am, what you'll see is this is a search result. And what we do here, and we do it through a tool, but what we do here is we roughly score the number of pixels on the page. And then we work out what percentage of those pixels belong to our client, and also what percentage of those pixels were available as organic. So this is on a job listing because I thought we'd stick to the recruitment theme. And what you can see is organic search is only 35% of the first page of the result, as opposed to before ads when it would be 100%. So you've got 35% organic, you've got 22% is that Google for Jobs box that stole all of our traffic at the beginning. And then you've got 17% Google Ads. There's also a knowledge panel midway down, which is 7%. So actually, you can't win organically solely. And if you own one result, but it happens to be above the Google for Jobs, that's much better than owning five results towards the bottom. So bringing it all together, because we might be near the end of the time, SEO isn't about to die, but the way we're approaching it is, and we need to change our tactics to understand there's some performance SEO for quick conversion, but there's also a huge branch of SEO that needs to be for attention. So we need to go higher up the funnel, talk about our customers more and our competitors, build our brand trust and integrate with other channels better. And then we need to find ways to measure it that our clients can actually grasp hold of, that they're going to be interested in, so they don't just think we're selling smoke and mirrors. And that means we need to think beyond last click and build custom attribution models if you can. If not, use Google's default ones. We need to measure our time well spent as well as the time on the site. Track the satisfaction rate and track your percentage share of SERP so you have like a visibility score for your organic as well as an impression score for your ads so you can prove a value even if you aren't getting clicks and you aren't getting traffic. And finally, we just have to work together to educate clients a bit better. So any client that demands a forecast from me and says, we won't work with you unless you can give me a forecast that shows me a 30% uplift, I just say, I'm sorry, we're not for you. The more people you have talking about the fact that SEO isn't as black and white as it used to be, the smarter the whole industry gets. the easier it all gets to work, and then you don't get mugged off and undersold by the agencies that charge like £100 for like 6 weeks work and it's awful and they've just bought a load of links. So the better people should stick together and talk about the same things. Thank you for listening. I'm happy for questions.